You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Or should we call it after the final pop?
It's after the final pop episode, but like after, yeah. It's like way after the final pop.
Way after the final pop. Exactly. So yeah. For this week, what we have for you guys is several of our after the final pop episodes that we've cherry-picked, some of the ones we liked the most, to give you a sampling, if you will, of the kind of extra content you can get if you're signed up over on the Patreon.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So at the end of every episode, Jay and I record just an extra little tidbit for after the final pop. It's just a bit of extra bonus popcorn culture action for you guys if you are interested. And the reason that we're giving you this little sampling this week is not just to kind of give you that peek into what it would be like to be a patron, but also this is the mid-year break for the Super Carlin Brothers team. So
yeah,
the whole staff is out of the office. This is something that we do as like an organization. It doesn't take away from their like vacation days or anything like that. We give everybody the opportunity to go and rest and do something fun for themselves while none of us are here.
Exactly.
Because there's like a weird kind of I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I feel like when I'm out of the office on vacation and everybody's still back here, there's always a piece of me that like feels the fact that the other people are still working.
Like you're making it harder for everyone else.
A little bit. Yeah. Yes. It's like it's almost why like national holidays are so great, because it's almost like we all agree today that we're not doing anything, right?
No work.
Like we're good. So that is what we're doing. We've been working frantically all week to try to make sure that as many of our uploads as humanly possible were still going to be available in our absence. However, I think it kind of went against the spirit of the occasion to work late in the name of
to overwork ourselves in the name of taking a break
of taking a break. That's exactly it. Yes. Yeah. So I hope that you guys enjoy. I think there's some really fun things in there. We're going to rank the letters of the alphabet and what has to be one of the most
unhinged after the final pops we've ever had. It's maybe my favorite ever, so I really hope you enjoy that one.
Absolutely. So thank you guys so much as always for your understanding. We hope that you enjoy these episodes of after the final pop. If you end up enjoying them quite a bit, you want to see more of that, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But without any further ado, enjoy the show. Hello and welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always we got to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Y'all, I can tell you that I know this is like super duper way overdue and it's embarrassing, but yesterday Ethan was working on the D&D episode.
He was indeed. Yes. So progress is being made. It's not just swept under the rug.
Hasn't been sweeped.
Nope. It's doing great. It's great. It's alive and well. We're all in stumes. It's going to be awesome. So we'll get there. In the meantime, Jay, how would you feel about ranking the letters of the alphabet?
Ranking the letters of the alphabet?
Let's start with the letter A.
Letter A is an S-tier letter.
S-tier letter.
For sure. It's like king of the vowels, you know?
I would say it is king of the vowels.
Yeah, it's not the most commonly used vowel, but it is the king of the vowels. It's the front of the alphabet. It is the leader letter.
It really is. Yeah. And so what is the most commonly used? E?
E is the most commonly used vowel.
Really? Mm-hmm. And yes. Is A next?
A must be next. It has to be.
Okay. So, I mean, all the vowels, I basically would say, are pretty S tier.
Well, I would give the U like an A tier.
And okay, so that's under S tier.
That's under, yeah. So S, A, B, C, D, E.
So you think that U is the worst vowel.
U is definitely the worst vowel.
What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, it just seems like it's probably the least used one. It's like we have this sound that we kind of have to cover, and it is in a lot of words, but like, it's not the most exciting. It's not like an eh. It's not like an eh, you know?
I mean, but
it's
like,
it's not even a y. Like, that's, I would put Y to me a cooler letter than.
You're not about to do
you
it.
You don't think Y is an S here?
This is straight U slander, if I've ever heard it.
What do you think is the worst vowel?
Think of the word unicycle without the U.
You could spell it Y-O. Y-O-O. N-I-C-Y-C-L-E. Unicycle. Nailed it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I won't lie. That was a sound argument.
It was a sound argument.
I think I is the worst vowel.
You think I is the worst vowel?
Yeah, I think
we have an I in our name. You have an I in your name.
Yeah, but I don't use it. I mean, how often am I going by Benjamin?
But you use Carlin.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about that. But, yeah. I mean, you know, you have to take yourself out of the equation. You know, it's like, you don't, like, it's not necessarily how you'd personally be impacted. It's mostly, I mean, you could just be like C-A-R-L-N, Carlin.
Carlin, yeah.
Carlin.
I mean, I have a U in my middle. I actually don't have an E in my name at all.
Carl.
Despite its, you know, usefulness in other words.
Wait, you don't have what?
I don't have an E in my name anywhere.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
I know, yeah. It's kind of impressive, I think. Like, I manage, because I have a long name, you know?
You do, yeah, yeah.
Jonathan Lewis Carlin, not a single E.
Right, right.
Because I do have a U, so I'll say that.
Right.
And ironically, not to hurt my own case or anything here, but you could use an E and get rid of the U.
Okay, here's my thing, though, is that, like, I before E, except after C, like, I...
Such bananas. It's so, it, like...
How do you... I don't... Like, I still, like... So, how do you spell the word piece? Like a piece of candy, like P-I-E-C-E? Piece.
Yeah, I before E.
I before E, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, the problem is that it was like, I before E, except after C, and other times.
Yeah, now I'm just assuming that all the other times are this time.
Right, and it's like, yeah, but this is one of those times, and you're like, okay.
All right, moving on, letter B. I think S tier.
I think it's definitely at least A tier,
At least
A tier. It's, you know, B is not B tier, for sure.
No. I mean, but it's, at the very least, it's called the ABCs. I mean, it's like...
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. I mean, yeah. A, B, and C, they're all S tier.
It's pretty much all
they're
S-tier.
Right up there. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and throw C in there. Let me get to D.
D is an interesting one. Because it's so associated with, like, almost failing to me.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, when you get, like, a D, it's like, at least if you're going to, like, fail
it's
something...
It's fourth place,
like,
man.
It's like, fail. Yeah. You know, fail proper. Like, let that pain exist inside of you so that you can grow to, like, overcome it. D is like, you passed, but, like, not well.
But not well.
But
it's
not,
like,
yeah.
It's like, because what's happening is A, B, and C have, like, it's like, you'd think of it as, like, first, second, third, but it's really more like a three-way tie for first, because you call it the ABCs.
Right.
But then D is still fourth. So it's like, first, fourth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's really like, I mean, it's just kind of like a no man's land. So yeah, I'm gonna rank it at the very least as like a I would rank it as like a C tier.
You think it's a C tier letter? D is a C tier letter.
D is a C tier.
Okay,
letter.
D is a C tier letter. Then we get to E, and that's already an S tier.
We already covered that in the vowels. F.
Now F, on the other hand, whereas D is like you barely failed, F otherwise just means flunked or failed. But F.
You full send it.
What?
You full send the fail.
You, because F has so many, like, F is like the king of the swears, you know?
Oh, it
you
is.
You know what I mean?
It is. It is. Like, the best swear starts with F.
The best swear starts with F, and everyone knows it.
Everybody. I mean,
it's not like, close.
This is non-debatable.
It's non-debatable.
Yeah. It's like,
and you shorthand it as F all the time.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to give F an A tier.
I'm going to give F A tier as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
A, B, C, D, E, F. I'm so bad at doing this. It's not the same way as like numbers where like you just know that like
you know the order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's because it's not like F is bigger than, you know, E.
Right, yes. Yeah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
G.
All right, so we're on G now.
G, I mean, it's just a very regular letter. Half of its usefulness is covered by J.
Yeah, it's true. And then, like, it's really, like, when it really is, it's shining its best as part of an ing, you know? And then really, if you take the G off the end, you can still pretty much say, like, you know, it's like, are you cooking or are you cooking?
Are you cooking? Yeah, you know? It's almost better.
Like, it's like, you almost don't even need G.
I know,
I'd say just like, slice it out of there.
I mean, it's got the, we need the G sound.
What do we need the G for?
I mean, like, what if you're ordering like a grande coffee or something?
Oh, you know, yeah, I mean, I have no issues at all calling it a ronde.
A ronde?
Yeah. I would do that. Yeah.
Sold. So G. So you're gonna put G down in like a D tier letter.
I put it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, G. See you later.
Yep. All right. So moving on from there, A B C D E F G H H H
H
okay.
H is. It's like, I think to me it's like a B tier letter. It's a very good, like, it's like the Scottie Pippen letter. You know, it's in there with S and it's in there with C.
Yes, it would win. It would win the Oscar for best supporting.
Exactly.
You know,
H is a great supporting letter.
It is a good supporting letter. It's, it's right there with T all the time, which is an S tier.
Yes,
no doubt about it. And S, great letter. Also an S tier. Yes.
And with C.
And with C, also an S tier. Yeah.
Maybe so, it's an A letter.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. H is doing a lot of work, but it's always, you know, it's always helping others, and I appreciate that about
absolutely.
H.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I, we already talked about, that's, you know, it's already S tier because it's a vowel.
Right.
Then we have J, clearly an S tier as well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the main thing I think J has going for it is that it's the 10th letter.
Yeah.
Which gives it like a degree of symmetry out of a list of 26.
I know. It's like J is the 10th letter, but it's also the middle of the alphabet.
Exactly. Let's see here. What is J?
You've already gotten rid of G, in which case J really stands up.
Well, I mean, it's true. Yeah, there is something to be said for the fact that I was willing to sacrificial lamb G so
exactly,
hard.
Exactly.
Like, no issues.
Speaking
at
of
all.
Sacrificial lambs, though, J, Jesus, you know?
Oh, wow.
The big J.
The big J himself. Yeah. Although J is also heavily associated, if you're ever like, like if his name starts with this letter, then total big red flags, and it's always J.
What?
It's a truth fact.
No.
Yeah, I swear. Have you not seen this?
No.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for John's, Jake's, Josh's, Jolin's.
Jolin's?
Yeah. Jobert's. Benjamin. Never talk to a Benjamin.
Well, that's probably not me. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, K.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Like, K's a weird one because K's got, like, nice architecture. Like, it looks good.
It looks good, but it's a bit unbalanced, you know? Like, where does this, like, it feels like it should be a perfect vertice where the bottom leg comes out, you know?
You're right.
But it's not.
No.
It comes, like, out a little bit. It's like a branch
who
of
came
the
up
top
with that?
One,
that was
right?
A bad plan. Bad yeah. planning, yeah.
You need, like, K feels like it should be another way.
Do you think it was a typo?
You think it was a typo? No.
You know, then K also, I mean, it's like, you, again, we're keeping C because we've already assigned it.
Well,
S
C here. Is already, yeah, look, K has got a lot of work to do because C covers all of its bases for it.
Not to mention, there's words like night, you know, K-N-I-G-H-T. It's like, take that K out of there and what do you have?
Night.
Night.
Still there. K is like trying, yeah, no, K is a, no, it's it, like it, a D-tier letter.
K is masquerading as an H, like it's wanting to help by hanging out with C, but it's really just it's copying C and it's doing it less well.
He is like N's annoying best friend.
Yeah,
and it's just like just okay, you just stand here. We'll just like no one pronounce you. You know,
I will say
know,
though.
You can know.
You can know. I have. Yes, exactly. You yeah. Know, yeah. Just take it off and you now.
You now. Exactly. You yeah. Now. You now.
I did have an affinity for a hot second for girls with names that started with the letter K. That
sure.
That was like a trend in my life for a while.
That was like that was part of the attractiveness of them.
No, it just was true.
It just was true.
It was
see?
Just, it was. It, no, K.
Yeah.
Do you K what I did there?
I see what you did there.
See, I did.
Yeah, you did it again. You did it again.
You're exhausted, baby. I could tell. Mm-hmm.
You know what else? You know what else K doesn't have? It's like, it's also like people, when you were texting people, like, you know, when people nowadays you can do a long press and give people a thumbs up.
Right. Yeah.
Like, or, acknowledged.
Yeah. Right. Acknowledged mm-hmm. in a way that doesn't feel like hurtful.
Exactly.
Or like difficult. I mean, like, unless, like, you know, it's the first time you're ever like texting someone like, I love you, and they just like it. You know, it's kind of like, ooh, that's not
ooh,
good.
That's not good.
You know, chances are they don't reciprocate.
They don't even give you a heart on it. You know.
But back in the day. Yeah. Like if you got a K back, it was like, oh, I have screwed up.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, even to the point where it's like, I knew like dad like wasn't necessarily proficient like in like texting you know like etiquette or whatever, and so he would send like a K back and I'd be like, well, I guess he's disappointed in me or something.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, K, but it's like, because you, but like you needed to send something to be like, okay, I read it, like, I, you, message received, like, we'll meet there at 5:30. K.
Okay.
And it's like, now I know we have the same plans.
Right, yeah.
But people hated it so much that we came up with a whole new system just to avoid the letter K.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with K. Really just not done that much for us.
K, yeah. It's also like KKK, you know? Very bad.
Oh, yeah. Not good at all.
Not good at all. Maybe F tier letter.
Maybe.
Our first F. Okay, see you later, K.
But if your name happens to start with K, then you're still good.
You're still good.
Like Kira,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Good. Yeah, you okay.
I sat next to a Kira on the plane on the way home from our last trip. So anyway, L.
L's pretty good.
L is a gorgeous cursive letter.
Maybe the cursive letter.
I think it is one of the most fun cursive letters to do because you sort of got like the
good cursive letter. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
L also started with Luke, you know. Luke, got some points there.
Love.
Yeah, L's pretty good.
You can double L and it's sort of like, you know, I don't really know if we need it, but like it's kind of fun. There's two of them.
That I mean, because it goes from like Al to All, you know.
Al to All.
Al to All. Right, stall,
yeah.
You know?
Right,
that's the word I went for.
Stall. Everybody's like, think of a really good word. Stall.
It's like, nope.
All right. Yeah. Nope. What else we got?
I think L is a solid one. That's like one of my, you know, it's like one of my early go-tos in the Wordle to like try and figure, like once you get through the vowels.
Oh.
Like, you know, I feel like S and T and L are all really good, like, help me get there.
What about R?
R is also really good. That was my fourth one, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
wait, but you
right.
put L before R.
No, I probably got R before L.
I was going to say, because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. I mean, we haven't gotten to R yet, but we'll save it, you know.
Yeah, we'll save it. I mean, okay. It's just, you can't,
like,
you can't,
everyone's,
like,
right.
Yeah, okay. we can't waste all the good ones at the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, so then moving on to M.
Wait, where do we put L?
Oh, I'm sorry, L. I think L is at least an A-tier.
A-tier, okay. Yeah. Cool. L, M. Okay, yes. Okay, so now we're into the elemento.
Elemento, yeah.
The part of the alphabet people have a problem with because people are like, oh, kids think elemento's one letter. And I'm like, no adult person thinks elemento is one letter.
It's like, this is confusing for exactly preschool.
Yeah. And then, like,
Right. And then they get it.
And then they get it.
Right. I know we're stepping out of our alphabet ranking, which is very important, but like, this is like, there are certain aspects of, I think, raising a small human where I'm like, one way or another, it's like, I am not concerned that she will be 10 years old and not know how to do this.
I know.
Like, it's okay if she's like a little bit behind now, because at some point, this is not going to be an issue,
right?
Like, if that ends up being, that hasn't even been a problem for me, but it's just, that's like, you know, I take solace in that. I'm like, I have never met an adult who is sort of like elemental. Oh crap. I'm sorry.
I always think of,
I forgot that was four letters.
Right. Spell your name for me. It's elemental. UKE.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. No, this is not an issue.
Not an issue.
All right. So now we're looking at M. What does M do? M and N are sort of interesting because they're like, you have capitals and lowercases for every letter, and then M and N almost feel like they could be the capital and lowercase of each other.
Right.
You know, like N is like only like one little hump, and then M is like hump hump.
Right.
Ooh, don't say hump hump twice. Oh, I'm just making it worse. Oh man. Okay. But anyway, yeah. So M. Our mom's name starts with M. And
mom
then,
starts with M.
Right. Yeah. M O M. That's pretty important.
Mom's a good, yeah.
Moms, they shape our world.
They do. Meanwhile, we gave D a very low tier. Did we say it was like B?
Yeah, but right. It's like, you know, it's like D had the issue of like, of hanging out with A, B, and C as if it stood a chance.
Right.
You know, and so like, if it was A, B, C, M.
Meanwhile, M is hanging out with L, you know? Yeah, he's hanging out with L and N back there.
Right.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad at all. And then they're right there next to O, you know?
Right. I know. It's good company.
This is like the cool kids table at the, it's like the table of kids. It's not the popular kids.
Yes.
That's the vowels.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Elemento. Well, right. And maybe O flirts with both.
Oh, you think O?
Okay, well, I mean, elemento.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. O is like the bridge.
Between, O is the bridge.
Yeah. Between LMN. O sometimes sits over there.
Right. But that's how you know that LMN are cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So by definition, I think it almost requires us to assign at least A tier to both M and N.
Okay, fine by me.
And then O, obviously S tier. We've already covered that by way of vowels.
We have P. I mean, P is pretty important because it's like, it's a, okay, here's what I don't like about P.
Okay.
Is that P already has a perfectly unique sound to it. You know, something has to be P, but you know what? P did not feel like that was enough for itself. And it decided it was going to start encroaching on F a little bit.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
I think he got jealous of H hanging out with all those other letters and was like, I want to hang out with H.
I was going to say, I was literally thinking like you have like T, S,
C.
C.
Yeah.
All great letters hanging out with H.
And then, and then
P all of a sudden is like, I can make a fuss sound. And it's sort of like, no, no.
F's over there like, I got it, dude.
I got it. I have this covered. I am the best swear. Nobody is spelling it P-H.
Yeah. Well, F, and P. There's no, we don't need to cross over.
Why is this happening?
We don't need to do this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, P.
No.
You're right down the drain where P belongs.
Exactly. No, it's P and poo. I mean, oh, no, P.
Not the best. Not the best. It's kind of a crappy letter.
Yeah. All right. Now we have, now we're getting into some squirrely territory here, and I mean co-whirly.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Q has whimsy going for it.
It's got whimsy. I'll give it that. It's butted up with U, which we've decided is the worst vowel.
Well, there's that. I mean, but Q is like the Luna Lovegood of letters.
I'll give it that.
Quirky, even. Yes, it's some quirky. Might say. Yes, yes. Yeah. You could use it to describe itself. And so I think like it's, hold on. So you have S, A, B. I think it's a B tier.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give Q B tier.
I think Q gets B tier. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, it's good. You know?
Yeah.
It's, but I mean, and I feel like I just slandered Luna Lovegood, which, you know, like that's not what I'm trying to do. That's an S tier character. But anyway. So, okay. So Q and then R.
Q, R. Can we say enough good things about R?
I don't think we can.
I don't think we can. R might be, it might be like the double S tier.
R is a letter that like, that is like, carrying so much weight for all communication.
I know.
You know, like it shows up everywhere. It's so important. It's versatile.
It's got suffixes. It's got prefixes.
Right.
Right. You know, it's got verbs. You know, it just, you put ER on anything. It's buddies with E. I mean, that's the most common vowel.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. R is S tier.
R is S tier. Yeah, there's no question about it. Yeah. It's great. It's maybe the most fun letter to draw. Like it's like P, but better.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like P, it's like, sucks.
Yeah. It sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then we move on to S. And yeah.
S is S tier.
S is S tier. I mean, there's no doubt about you. Now we're in the Rust Belt.
Yeah.
QRST.
Yeah.
No, not right, minus the Q. RST.
Yeah.
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 I mean, these are all S tier letters.
These are all good. T, yeah.
Highly versatile. T is the 20th letter.
There you go. So right there with J.
Right there with
the
J.
The other middle of the alphabet.
Exactly. This actually works out well because I have two brothers, and one is a J and one of them is a T, and I know exactly where their letter is in the number alphabet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yours is pretty easy too because it's just two.
It's two, and it's an S tier.
And so, it's an S tier. It's up there. Yeah, up there with J.
Right, right. So anyway, so then we got U. Okay, of course, we've already talked about it with
the A tier vowel. Yeah.
Then there's V.
It has a unique sound, you know.
Yeah.
It's
it looks an awful lot like you.
It looks an awful lot like you. Yep. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Right.
But it's sharper, you know.
Right. And, you know, and the thing is that like W didn't go out of its way to call itself double V.
Which it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what does that tell you about V? It tells you the other letters don't like V.
It seems to me that like it's comrades in arms, and like these are people. This is not like people like at the beginning of the alphabet, like, you know, in like the like letters like one through J. You know, like this you're talking about like the tail end of the alphabet here. We're in the end.
You're in the
20s. Now.
Yeah.
Right. And W doesn't want to hang with V. Then I mean, there's no two ways about it. V is just like, I mean, unfortunately,
it's better than P, but like. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, C? Are we going to give it a C list?
We'll give it a C tier. Yeah. Okay. V is C tier. Yeah.
Okay. All right. UV. No, wait. We already did U. V. U R S T V.
W.
W. Oh, yeah.
We're at W. No, W is a great letter.
W is a great letter.
W commands all of the questions.
Right.
With its partner, H.
H. Oh.
Yes. H is bad. And you know what? W and H go together all the time for that lovely H sound.
Huh. Whiskey.
Whole.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, poor P over there. It's like, it's honestly embarrassing.
I mean, H is so popular.
Right.
And like he was throwing P a bone and like F wasn't having it.
Yeah.
No, I'm afraid not.
Yeah,
no.
It's just too bad.
No. W was just like, he, you know, because he's just two V's next to each other, but he went for W.
And let me say this about W. Wow.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
This guy gets it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So W.
Speaking of exactly, next we have X.
X. Pfft. pretty cool looking letter.
I mean, yeah, maybe the coolest looking letter.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of got like, it's like the letter you can fix, you know? Like, it's like, I can fix him. It'll
exactly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's right there. He's in the word fix.
Right, yes.
Yes.
It is indeed, with F, by the way, and not PH.
Exactly.
Can you imagine PHIX? No, thank you.
That word would need some fixing.
It absolutely would, yeah. Yeah, okay, so, but X also can be a little saucy at times. Like it's hard to use. If you line up three of them, all of a sudden you start to be in like either Vin Diesel or like rated R territory.
You can tell that he was like, he knows he already looks some cool, and like he's now, because you have ABC, but then you have XYZ.
Yeah, this is true.
And here's the thing about X. Definitely looks the coolest, but like A, B, and C are their own things.
Right.
Whereas X was sort of like, you know what? It's different though, because you would say ABC and you say XYZ, but Z is really the star because now you're at the end.
Yeah. I mean, right? A to Z, right. Alpha and Zeta.
Yeah. Omega.
Omega. Yeah. Okay. So I think X, I'm going to have
X,
to.
What I was trying to say is that X, it feels like it's like trying to steal some of that glory though, by like sometimes being Z.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I see what you mean. Yeah. I mean, it is what C is to A. You know, when it really comes down to it, like it's not bad, but it's not A,
right?
You know, and so okay, so I think it's got to be. It's going to be an. I would give X an A tier.
X an A tier.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's style alone.
Yeah.
You know, elevates it.
Yeah. The style. Okay. It gets points back for that for sure.
So then
Y? Y is. I mean, Y is pretty good.
Y is pretty good.
I mean, Y. It does a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It can make an E sound, but like in a way that like feels appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
Like, you know, it's like you get to the end of like Whirly Pop. No, this is probably a bad example. Eh, maybe it's not. But like, you know, maybe it is a bad example because Whirly, W-H-I-R-L-E-E versus W-H-I-R-L-Y. Like, they both kind of...
I know. I feel like I've seen Whirly Pop spelled with a double E.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, double E is okay. But you know what? Maybe double E and Y, like, get along well. Like, this is an example. You know how, like, sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, I have this guy, like, this person exactly like you. You guys would be best friends. And then you're like, I don't want to meet them. They're exactly like me. They would take up all of me.
Well, like, Y, this is the thing. Y is, like, he's the Peyton Pritchard of the alphabet. He is the sixth man.
Oh, wow. Way to go into the Celtics.
Yeah. You know, as I do.
Yeah, and naturally. The sixth man. So we're here for Y.
We're here for Y because he's A E I O U and sometimes Y.
And sometimes Y.
When someone needs a breather, Y steps in.
That's right.
Exactly.
And we appreciate Y for that.
Yes. Yeah,
it's helping.
He's making he makes some words viable.
Would you be willing to push for an S tier or do we think A tier?
I would probably give Y S tier.
Oh,
yeah, I think he's up there. Wow. I think he's up there.
Good for Y. I mean, you know, like I didn't see it coming, but I am happy for it. You know, you just want to see it be happy.
You do.
Yeah, just go out there and like do good things. Okay, and then we of course close out with the infamous Z.
The infamous Z. Now Z is tricky because, I mean, it has the glory of being the final letter of the alphabet.
Yes,
but it also has the issue of being just the like one of the least used sounds.
It's really not. I mean, you know, there's like pizza, which really brings Z.
Pizza is doing a lot of work for Z.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Like otherwise, Z is sort of like it's like
what's it got? Zebra.
I mean, and
you know,
right? You know, and they're cool.
I mean, zebras are cool, but
right. What other Z words can we think of?
This is it. Zoo. Still with the animal theme.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that people that are deeply into displaying animals are sort of like now this letter. This one.
Zoo,
has
zebra, pizza.
Pizza. Which you can get down at the
zipper. Some people are trying to get in the zipper bandwagon. It's got two P's in it.
I know, yeah. And so does pizza. Has a P in it.
So Z, like, stop butting up with P.
Right. I mean, you gotta have better affiliations.
I know.
Oh man, zebra was pretty good though. I mean, you were in there with E, B, R, and A.
That was a good day for Z when he met zebra.
Yes,
yeah. Those letters got together and made something happen.
They did. They really did. That's well said.
Yeah.
I feel like Z, you have to give it some credit for being at the end of the alphabet. You know, it's like it's the other bookend along, like, you know, it can occasionally get along with A, which is important. You know, like they come from different places, but like, you know, they also...
I mean, they are the bookends.
They are. They are. So I feel like I would be willing to lob like a B tier.
I was going to say B tier for
yeah,
Z.
For yeah. Z. Yeah. It's like its lack of usefulness is one thing. Its affiliation with P is really dragging it down.
Yeah. What is, so what do we determine are the worst letters? K and V and P?
And G, was it G? No.
Oh,
D,
yeah. G.
D,
G. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I feel like D didn't do well in Harvard.
Someone needs to go back and actually make the chart for us.
I know, yeah. Break it down. What do we? I feel like we loved a lot of letters, though. I mean, you know, we weren't.
I mean,
here
a lot
like,
of letters are very good.
They're really good.
Yeah. Really good, I think.
Anyway, so that's our definitive ranking of the alphabet. Be sure to let us know, what do you think, and who's people's names started with letters we hated. All of the Phillips out there.
How many people's name starts with V?
Vinny.
Victor.
Varsity.
That's not a name. This is my kid Varsity.
Yeah. Valence.
Viren.
Lasse Viren.
Lasse Viren. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Flying Finn.
Yeah, that's a good 1972 Munich Olympics pull.
Exactly.
Right. Winner of the 5,000 meter. Okay. So yeah, I think we've covered this pretty.
Vernon.
Oh.
V. Do better.
Seriously.
Come on.
Yeah. Anyway, so let us know what's
Voldemort.
Oh,
gotcha there.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. In one, let us know your favorite letters or your arguments for letters that we disliked. And I'd be willing to bet that somebody's going to come up with something like, guys, I cannot believe you missed the obvious low hanging fruit.
Well, also, people are going to have opinions about letters.
Look how many P's we have on
no.
the sign.
We made so much fun of P.
And our slogan is literally pop, pop.
Pop, pop. Wow.
Which is so close to poo, poo.
That is so, I mean, yeah, we have screwed ourselves on this one.
We made an oop, oop.
We made an oop, oop.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, what are we supposed to do about that? We also have a duck. we ate it on.
Which has a D and a K in it.
Yeah. Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Which, I mean, the popcorn, you know.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's what those for, you right, know.
Yeah, right.
This represents a sound.
Right, it does. You know? It's an onomatopoeia.
Exactly.
It's like we are writing down what is otherwise a delightful sound. And P does have that going for it. Anyway, guys, thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Until next time.
Fop, bye. Fop!
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Starting a business is a funny process. You start with your idea, then you make some prototypes or source inventory, record your first video, the little things. Then you make your first sale, have your first regular customer, hire staff, expand hours, open a new location, start a second podcast, offer health benefits, marketing, accounting, verbiage, human resources. Whew, it's a lot, but that's why you want Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, from household names like Mattel and Carlin Brothers Mercantile to brands that are just getting started. And let me tell you what, Shopify is like having a business partner who doesn't need to sleep, doesn't drink half the pot of coffee, has tons of insight, and doesn't snore when you split a hotel room at the annual trade convention. Shopify is your commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. So turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period and start selling today at shopify.com/pop pop. Go to shopify.com/pop pop. One last time, shopify.com/pop pop.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hello and welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying all of those amazing thumbnailingtons here on the Patreon. Let me tell you guys though, it has been an eventful space of time between recording the main episode of Pop and After the Final Pop.
It really has. I mean, normally we step out and we go and have some lunch.
Yeah.
We hope that Mike has come by.
Right.
Our good buddy Mike has a service here in Roanoke where he makes, this is just a good solid plug for any of Roanoke listeners. He does, we call him Mike Meals. And well, actually, I think that's what he calls them too.
That's what it's called.
That's the name of the company. Yeah. But it's meal delivery service. It's super good. So you get like, you know, chef prepared meals for lunch every day here at work from our good buddy.
Yeah.
You know, fresh, never frozen.
Yeah. I'm out there chowing. It turns out Mike had been here and he brought one of the things was like an adobo chicken wrap kind of thing.
Yep.
It was super tasty. I was sitting there enjoying it and I can't help but notice that sitting on our little island out in the kitchen area were four brand new bottles of Pringles.
Yeah.
Bottles? Cans?
Pipes, not to be confused with your children.
Yes. Pipes of Pringles.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with 3 to 6 year old children that you might use to play Gears with.
Right. Throw back to today's episode.
Yeah. And so last week at the office, we were like just sort of joking around about how long or how fast you could like shotgun a can of Pringles.
Which is to say, in one go with nothing but full intention and no liquids whatsoever, how quickly can you eat a tube of Pringles?
How fast could you eat? Yes. And until we keep changing the word. Yes. How fast could you eat an entire tube of Pringles without water? This was the challenge. And it was sort of put out there at like under 10 minutes.
Once you pop, you literally want to stop.
Exactly. Once you pop, you cannot stop or you lose the game. So I guess Isabel had been talking about this with her boyfriend and that they thought it was a great idea. So he had stopped by as well. He was here when we finished recording the main episode and had brought the, pipes of Pringles.
The pipes, yeah.
And I guess, you know, it was just game on, basically.
This is one of those things where I felt bad because I was like, oh gosh, like this is so, I mean, it's like, I don't need to compete to know that I'm the slowest eater here. It's like, it's definitely me, not to worry, not to worry. It's like such a thing. So I'm going to set this one out because I also still need to eat like lunch, but you ate a whole wrap
I know. Well, I was halfway through eating my wrap before I would like realize that like the challenge was on the table.
Yeah, quite literally
on the table, and I was like, well, I'm obviously going to play. So I'm just going to finish this wrap real quick and then down a whole Pringles. I guess I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, God, I have not. It's almost good that I didn't know ahead of time because I feel like I would have been thinking about it all day. And I'm like sitting there trying to like mentally prepare, like, is this safe? Is this like too many Pringles? Like, can I even do it? Like, how long am I going to be here eating Pringles all of a sudden? Like, our guess was under 10 minutes, but what if it takes way longer? You know?
So, yeah. I mean, so then it's basically, so we all lined up. Well, I say we, you guys all lined up.
Yes.
And you know, you crack your lids, you pull your foil.
Yeah. Pop the foil and you know, you start going to town on the Pringles. See, and I guess so not only are we I guess mostly we're racing. It's like partially we're trying to see, can you do it in under 10 minutes? Partially trying to see, can it be done at all?
Yeah.
And partially trying to see who can do it first, assuming the other two were doable.
Right. And so the big question in my mind was like, there's the very famous challenge is like, you can't eat like 5 saltine crackers in like under a minute or something like that. And it's always one of those things where it's like, man, 5 saltines, God, that doesn't seem like very much at all. Like I could like, you know, like you wouldn't think twice about eating 5 saltine crackers, but like then your mouth just turns into like cement immediately. Yeah. Yeah. And you're like
so much salt.
Oh yeah. It's like, it's like the salt and the flour and everything. So, you know, then you're just like trying to chew through this like sludge.
Yeah.
So the big question with the Pringles was whether or not this was going to be a problem.
Yeah. Whether or not it was going to, so we did have low sodium, which I think maybe helped.
Advisable.
Yeah, no reason to take an extra. So otherwise original flavor, low sodium. And let's see, what was my time? I finished in 8 minutes and 40 seconds.
You won.
Whole tube of Pringles. I won. Oh,
Yep. Challenge extended. Challenge, I
know, right? So if anyone out there wants to go buy themselves a pipe of Pringles and set the timer, you cannot drink water while you're doing the challenge.
Right.
And, you know, see if you can down the whole tube in under 8 minutes and 40 seconds. I mean, good luck.
What would you say, like, your sensation was like during it? Like, were you getting full?
I was really just, I wasn't getting full while I was doing it. I was like, there's part of me that was like worrying about the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, how am I going to feel the rest? Because sometimes we do those wing challenges and it's like, oh, you know, the rest, like, it's okay. Like it hurt in your mouth and it was bad or whatever. But sometimes the real challenge is like, now it's in your body. And yeah, like the way capsaicin works is that like, it's not like, oh yeah, it burns you once. Like it continues to burn as long as it's touching any part of you.
I know. Yeah. So it really is one of those things where it's like, I do have to like almost psych myself up for that one because it's like the heat and the taste and the flavor is so intense, but the tough thing really truly is like the aftermath. It's just like, you know, for the next day or so as it like travels through you, it's like, oh God.
Yeah. And so I think as I was going through, like certainly it's definitely not as bad as like doing like a saltine challenge where it's like, you're immediately just like parched and you're like, you know, breathing down the cracker dust into your lungs or whatever. Like I was able to keep like enough saliva in my mouth to keep chewing as I went. And like, part of me was like worried, like as I'm going through it, that like, because it's hard to see how much is left when you look down into the tube.
Yeah, like the well of despair.
Yeah, the well of despair down there. And part of me just kept worrying that like, if it gets to the point where I can't finish the whole tube, then that means I will have reached like absolute maximum fullness. Yeah. And I will be, that is going to mean that I am going to be so uncomfortable, like just for not even probably the rest of the day, like probably into tomorrow.
And
it will mean that it was for naught because I won't have even finished the tube.
That exact concern is like, I was like, I feel like what's going to happen is I'm going to eat to the point where I'm uncomfortable and then not finish. And then I won't have like, it's like I'll have participated, but I won't have finished. And then it's like, oh man, this feels like a lose-lose.
That would have been absolute lose-lose situation. And that's what was kind of going through my mind. But I think I'm doing it as like a like competition almost also added this, like, I got to go really fast. I got to like try and like win. I got to try and figure out how am I going to do this quicker. Excuse me. Still very full. But so that helped. And then I at some point I realized like I am going to be able to finish it. Like I might be uncomfortable, but I will at least have I will have something to show for it.
Right.
Which is to say, I stood in a line with two other dudes and ate Pringles.
Right.
And I finished a whole tube quickly, faster than them.
Wow. Look at you go. Yeah, pretty amazing.
That's right.
Yeah. Ethan the editor also finished though. I think about like 45 seconds after you or so.
Yeah. Yeah. He was right there as well. He finished in like 9:30. So pretty quickly after me. And then I think Aaron might have fallen into the category of got full and didn't finish. He's the one who brought the Pringles. So.
I know. Well, then it was really funny because like that was the thing too. So I felt like intimidated like watching you guys. Like as it started like unfolding, I was kind of like, man, I kind of wish I did it.
Yeah.
And so then like, you know, like, then like afterwards, like, you know, so there's like one tube left because he had brought one in case I wanted to play as well. And so like, you know, we crack it open and I like reach in, I pick up like a stack of like, you know, seven and I'm like, all right, let me just like, you know, see what is it like? What's the experience? Like, you know, so I eat one of those and I'm like, all right, let me grab like another stack. Like I ate those and I was like, oh man, maybe I could have done this.
Yeah.
But like, so it's really funny because like my whole thing, and we had this gag in the last Jay versus Ben Goblet of Fire edition, is that I have I jokingly say like I have small mouth volume, but I actually think this is true. Like there's just not a lot of capacity like inside of
in
my face.
Mouth. Yeah.
You know, for like chewing large amounts of food.
Yeah.
So I would have had to go on like a very like chip by chip basis or something, you know. It's like,
I mean, that could have been a good strategy. I don't know. What I was doing was picking up just sort of stacks of chips and just sort of eyeballing what I thought was like, I could fit this much in my mouth.
Yeah.
And then I would just fit like an entire stack, the full chips, like six or seven at a time, just in my mouth at once, and then just start chewing as fast as I could.
The big question is whether or not there's like a point of diminishing returns. Because like in my mind, it seems like no matter what, eating one chip at a time seems like it would be the slowest.
Right.
And so like the question is like, is there a point where like eating, you can eat five just as fast as you can eat three, but you can't eat seven as fast as you can eat five. You know what I mean?
There's got to be a point in there where, you're losing, diminishing returns or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, I will say though that the other thing about me too, this was kind of interesting, is that like, I don't think I've had Pringles probably in some really long time, not for like any specific reason. I normally have kind of just like largely felt like Pringles were like sort of a pass for me. Like, I'm not that interested in them. I'm actually the same with oatmeal cream pies. Like, I feel like everybody loves oatmeal cream pies and I'm always kind of like, I don't really love these. I don't see the appeal. They just seem like dry, slightly spiced, like marshmallow cream, like none of these things. I don't know. It's like, eh, it's whatever. But so that's the other thing is I started eating the Pringles and I made it like a big conversation point on Friday at lunch about how I was like, I don't really like Pringles. And I started eating them. I was like, man, these are good.
Good Pringles, man. Good Pringles. Even low, so you can eat more than full sodium Pringles.
It was so funny because you guys were like, I don't know if this is the best flavor to go with. And I was like, I don't know. I'm sort of over here.
Pretty solid.
I was a Pringle skeptic and now I'm enjoying them.
Yeah, you're just a convert. Yeah. So have you felt the same about oatmeal cream pies? Do you enjoy a cream pie now?
No, not really.
Still not really in on it?
Yeah. Not so much. Okay. There was that mm-hmm. one time where I came out of the movies. I was on a date and the GMA had oatmeal cream pie my Isuzu Trooper.
I don't remember that.
Oh, no?
No.
We're not there for that?
I don't think that was.
Maybe it's just John and Mike.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. But anyway, so, I got to my car and there were just oatmeal cream pies like all over it, like smeared on my windshield and stuff like that.
They opened the sandwich and smeared the icing all over it. Yeah. That definitely wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel like this was such a thing for a while, was going and like doing something to somebody's vehicle.
This
while
has
they
John
were...
Jennings written all over it for what it's worth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably one of those occasions where it was like, hey, we were supposed to hang out tonight. And now you're going on a date instead. So I don't think so.
I'm prepared to pay the price.
I'm gonna go disrupt this instead.
That was a big GMA move. I remember on my first date with Beth, you and Mike and John just decided you'd just like barge down to the basement and be like, hey, we're here now too.
Yeah. We thought for sure that this would be like a fun part of the occasion.
Of course.
Like you get to meet all your friends all at once.
Yeah.
And your brother. Man, look at this. Everybody.
You were all in the wedding eventually, so you know.
To be fair, you guys got married for one.
<That's true. laughs>
And we were all there. So like no relationships were broken and it ended up working out. So like, if anything, we were just like, hey, we just want to be here from the very beginning,
yeah.
But I do remember how mad you were.
I was like, guys, come on,
please leave.
I know. I'm on a date, man. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. It's obviously not worked out, so it's cool.
It's not being fine. Yeah. It was, I actually do feel like this was, just like, it was such a thing. Like the different ways in which we found to like prank one another that I don't even know. They just don't even feel that like clever.
I didn't feel like pranks. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just sort of like annoying.
I'm just going to annoy them basically.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the fun, is that like you are aware of the fact, and maybe this is partly what's happening, is that like during these stages of life, I think everybody is simultaneously like wanting to go and do like dates or like, have like a relationship or try that like aspect of like life out and stuff like that. But like maybe everybody's like a little bit nervous about it quietly as well.
Well, for sure.
And like, but because you know that somebody's like in a nerve-wracking situation, the idea of going and disrupting it is like that much funnier, because it's like, oh, he's gonna be so nervous and we're gonna make it worse.
He's hoping nothing bad's gonna happen and we're gonna make sure it does.
Right. Yeah. Although a lot of times I feel like when you guys showed up, I was just like, look, I have friends who want to see me. I think there was a piece of that as well.
Did we do this to you?
I think you guys definitely did it back.
Okay, sure.
Almost certainly.
Okay.
So that's okay though. I mean, we all figured it out in the end.
We all got there. Yeah. You know.
Go GMA Adventures.
Go GMA. That's right.
Yeah. So I feel like in today's episode we talked about tunneling, which is not advisable. Yes. We talked about gears, which is
highly advisable.
Highly advisable, although it is a guaranteed fun until someone gets hurt game.
There's no doubt.
And now we've ventured into the waters of competitive eating.
Yeah, there we go.
So I feel like we can really just pat ourselves on the back for having made it through most of a whole year being like hopefully positive overall influences on people, and then just like screech into a halt there at the end to be like, here's a bunch of dangerful things you can do.
The thing what I really kind of like about the Pringle challenge is that like part of me is like, I'm gonna feel uncomfortable afterwards, like there's almost no, I can tell you that I already do, I can tell you that for sure, but part of me is also just like, you know what's missing is just like sometimes just doing stupid stuff just to do it.
I agree with that completely. Like I do think that that's like the flavor of life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
it's like we're being silly and we're being silly together, and
exactly.
It's like it's kind of nonsense, but also like isn't that sort of like when the best things are happening?
It absolutely, like people, like we, even as we were doing it, people were like joking like, well yeah, we're all like bonding right now, like everyone will have always done this together, but it's like, and it was like sort of like joking, being like a little so aware of it in the moment, but at the same time like it will be true
like,
there'll be a time when me and Ethan are at talking to other people and we'll both be there together and be like, remember the time we did like the Pringle challenge? And
it would even surprise me, because Pringles are so like affordable as well, like I think at least in my head, this is another one of those I haven't had had them forever, but I feel like they're like a dollar for like a tube. So I could be wrong. Maybe they're expensive, but either way, it feels like the type of thing that like once you started talking with people, it'd be like, hey, let's go do that. Like, should we do it again right now?
I don't want to do it again. Yeah. At least not right now.
Right. Know. Yeah. I mean,
I'm pretty full at the moment, but yeah, who knows? Maybe in like a month or something, I'll be like, let's throw down.
Let's throw down.
Yeah, let's throw down and not throw up.
It's become like the new Jay versus Ben. It's like, we just like leave all of the like fandom related stuff behind and then just start doing like challenges.
Yeah, that would be just great. Who can eat a tube of Pringles faster? That'd just be a great episode.
I know. I think I would lose still. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes the competitive juices get flowing and it's just, you can't even think about, like, here's the thing. When I was like considering the can of Pringles, I was like, I don't know if I'm like, I don't think I'm like a great, you know, competitive eater or anything, but for the sake of this game, like, I think I can do it quickly. Like, I don't think you need to be like a fast eater all the time to eat Pringles quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah. No, I think that's true. It's just, it's like, you know, like, so you and I have both been watching Survivor lately, so just like kind of on the mind, but like, it's, I feel like in a lot of the challenges, they do a nice job of having like an equalizer aspect of it. So it's like maybe there's like a difficult physical challenge on the front end, but then like it ends with a puzzle or something like that.
Almost always how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of times like they configure these challenges such that like maybe the physical aspect might be easier for certain people. Then it's a question of like, can you solve the puzzle? You might get like a little bit of a head start, but like not necessarily.
Right.
But then like, it almost always seems like everybody at least makes it to the puzzle.
Right.
You know, so then everybody's like working against it together, you know? So it's the type of thing where if you're extremely good at puzzles and less good at like the physical aspect, then it's like, you might could still win this thing.
Yeah. And I mean, very often it does happen that way, that whoever gets to the puzzle first is not necessarily the winner.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I feel like if we were to Jay versus Ben off, we'd almost have to have like multifaceted challenges to where it's like, okay, all right, let's have like, you know, a variety of different,
Right.
Once again, we just need like our own, like, I always think of like Dude Perfect and like their like warehouse establishment place building fantasy factory, something or another. It's like, I feel like someday we'll get there and we'll have like our space where we can, you know, do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good.
That'd be great.
Anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of After the Final Pop. Until next time. Bye. Hello and welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always we have to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah, that's like a once a year you get like a little jingle from Jay.
Yeah, there you go. That was it. You're welcome.
somebody should clip it and turn it into like a ringtone or something.
Yes, please. Please do that.
It'd be truly spectacular. Sure. Truly spectacular. Okay, so Jay, there was a piece of topic that I felt like we could have gotten to in the main episode today or yesterday, whenever we recorded. And I think I was talking a little bit about how I felt like by doing the pop, in some ways, I feel as though I have like engaged in this therapeutic experience in a way. Which is I mean, it is like odd, but also makes sense because like you're someone who I have had like a long-standing, deep and personal like relationship with. You've known me my entire life. You've seen me through like ups and downs and all arounds.
Yep. Mostly downs.
Mostly downs, almost exclusively. Yeah. It's like my whole life has kind of been
what
like
they say about Ben. He's a real downer.
That is what they say. In case anybody's like wondering, like, I wonder what it's like to be friends with Ben. It's just kind of,
you just be hanging out and people are like, should we have invited Ben? And we're like, well, we could, but like,
he's a downer.
I mean, if you're ready for the wet blanket.
No, yeah, no. I'm just going to come and rain all over that parade.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining blankets. But no, I think it's kind of like funny because I was the way that I was presenting this topic or concept to the team was not really even intended to be a conversation topic so much as like I'm kind of having this like strange problem, which is that like I feel like I have presented a lot of like my memories, you know, in this very like the vulnerable way, I would say, you know, like there's something about like not just talking, but talking in a way that lays out all of your calamities, you know, in a public facing way, where it's like people will now know that I have made this mistake or done this thing or whatever. But man, I swear, you in the microphone, like one of these days,
I know.
I'm gonna have like a legitimate, like I'm just gonna get mad.
It's
like,
just always you about to fall off, and I don't know why other people don't have this problem.
No, there's like these two screws that I think like come together on that holds our microphones onto our mic stands, and I think that Jay like kind of like fidgets with his when he talks sometimes, so he's actively.
Look how the microphones are. Look, yours is positioned differently on the stand than mine.
True.
Okay.
Is mine better?
Yeah, yours is clearly better. All right, yours gravity helps yours stay in place, where mine is constantly at this angle where if it moves at all, it's like, and it gets like a little wonky. And like there have been several occasions where we've had to like redo the microphone stands, and I'm always like, okay, we are going to adjust mine. And it's like, no matter what, I get stuck with the wonky microphone, and it's like, I don't know why. Part of it is the table we use is this like natural edge table, which looks amazing, but at the same time, like there's only a certain spot I can clamp my microphone stand to, and as a result, like it forces the stand to go to a certain like height and length, and like adjusting it to look more like yours doesn't work or something. I don't know why. I don't know why it's different, but it is. Like, what is going on? Yours is like, it's almost like backwards to mine or something. Because look, your cord comes up and under. Mine's like over. Anyway. It's super annoying. And it's been one of those things that's bothered me for years. And every time we reset it, I think I'm going to escape it. And then I can't believe I'm in the same situation.
It's okay. I'm not actually upset with you for what it's worth. Yeah, we'll just fix it afterwards.
Yeah.
We'll make it a point. We'll see.
We'll
super glue it or something.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, so the thing that I talked about in the main episode was sort of this like weird experience of going through and almost like, because I have reminisced, because I have like gone and like picked up memories that I had otherwise not handled for such a long period of time. It's like there's something glorious and nostalgic about so many of those memories, but it's almost like I think what I was feeling was like, I feel like I would go and handle like good memories, not just like negative memories. And it was like upon doing my reminiscence on them, it was almost as if like I like took something from the past, I relived it, got to experience the nostalgia with it, and then it's almost like it fluttered away.
Yeah.
And it's like now it's like whereas before I may have like gone back and like thought back about those memories or like that experience or like this up down all around or whatever, it's almost like I like diffused in the same way that like when you again go to therapy, you are diffusing typically like negative, or like harder memories or like memories like maybe you don't want to handle because they're like prickly or something.
Right.
But that's part of like, what makes therapy work. But like it's fascinating to me the impact that it's had on like even like good memories for me. And so anyway, that was just something that I thought was kind of like interesting to chat about in this week's episode of The Pop. And I have no idea if you have this at all. Like it seemed to me as though because you have like such a different like core motivation about like which topics, like you were talking about like when I'm chatting with other people, like my goal is to be like entertaining.
Yeah.
And so on some level in my mind, I'm almost like, well, I wonder if Jay, like the more times he tells a story, if anything, it's like the better like prepared I am to go and like regale somebody.
Right. Yeah. Like I've worked on my act a little bit.
It's sort of like,
I shaved that joke off. That didn't land well.
Right. Yeah.
We can skip this tangent. That's good. But you know what landed? That.
This part. Yeah. So yeah. Always include that. Always include that.
Hit this word harder. Got it.
Yeah. So it's like you're like working on like the material. It's like, oh, it's always improving. But I think partially like what's odd for me is I'm like, man, a bunch of these memories, it's like I have such fondness about them. And it's like now they're just sort of like they've been tapped.
Yeah.
I experienced the remaining fondness juice from inside of that memory orb, and now it's off to make new memories.
Right.
But what I'm curious about is whether or not there's like a weightlessness that's like that, like I haven't even realized I have like allowed myself.
Sure.
Where it's like, I'm not like letting like all these strings from like, the past, whether they're good or bad strings, like I'm not like necessarily tying myself, in reverse at all.
That's
so.
Probably good. I mean, there's like, I mean, it sounds like a lot of time, like, it sounds like you could perceive this as a problem wherein like you are, ideally just getting rid of like the negative memories. And as a result, you just have this happy person. You can only focus on the good things. And that's great. But like there are plenty of people whose problem is that they are stuck in their positive memories of the past.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely a thing.
No.
So hopefully maybe those are the kind of things you're like,
like working through and you're like, you know what? It's not necessarily about like not everything in my life is about reliving these, you know, fun times of the past. My whole life doesn't have to, like, because my life doesn't represent this fun way of the past, I'm failing. So it's like, even though like they are good memories, they could still be holding you back.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yep. Yep. For sure. For sure. Where I think like, you know, a lot of times you know, the pools or the experiences in your past that like brought you joy or happiness. And so you believe that like, because they did in the past, that they must in the future as well. And I sometimes think that is a trap I find myself stuck in very frequently where, like, you know, I think before I've told the story of how when we were in Vermont as kids, our dad took us to this like rock formation out in the lake where you can go and like at different like stages, you can like jump off of the rock and you know, like I would call it cliff diving, but you know, jump from somewhere between 8 feet.
We're not going head first.
And also like, you know, you jump somewhere from, you know, maybe 6-8 feet up to maybe 35, 40 feet on the high end of the spectrum or something. And I know that like for a period of time, like doing this jump was something that brought me so much like sense of confidence and excitement and happiness and pride. Yeah. And, you know, like I remember just like sort of like living on like a high for the rest of the day because I faced my fear,
I did it.
Yeah. And what I think is kind of like what I took from that then was I remember like when I graduated from college and when you and I were first living together and doing Super Carlin Brothers, it was like every weekend all I ever wanted to be doing was going and seeking out like some new cliff jumping adventure, some new waterfall that we could go and play in or around, or go find a rope swing next to the river somewhere. Do you remember this?
Yes, as
like
I
a
do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like partially what was happening was that like I was bored and wanted something to do, but also like I was so certain that the thing that I had done before would be the thing that would be fun again.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like maybe what happened was, maybe what you can recognize, maybe what you can learn from is like that was a really big thing because you were facing a fear that day, and that is a huge portion of why it brought you so much satisfaction when you did it that first time.
Right.
However, it's not necessarily like what you were discovering, like what you really did that day was face a fear and feel good about your ability to do it. Everything you're doing after that is then a question of do I have an affinity for jumping off of rocks?
Right.
You know, and that's the question. And I think on some level I actually still do. I think it's like, it is something I find joy in doing, and like, you know, kind of being out in nature, finding the watering hole or whatever the case may be, but probably placing too much stock in it and not recognizing like the actual thing that I experienced on that first occasion.
Right.
That like inflated the appeal in my brain so much.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the whole unpacking there. But the question, the only reason I brought it up was because, speaking of like things from your past, one of the other things that I had included in the show notes for this week that I didn't get to was revisiting the what I'm going to call like the heavyweights question.
Okay.
Or heavyweight question. And this is in reference to a podcast you and I used to listen to at some point in time, where the host would find people who kind of had like an unresolved something from their life. You know, whether it was like kind of small and innocuous or like big and important. And he would essentially like seek out and attempt to find this person that the other person had, you know, like a negative experience with of some kind, and determine whether or not, like, now that like time and years have passed, if a resolution could be found.
Right.
And like both of these people can like essentially let go of whatever this instance was.
Yep.
And, so I bring it up. I went to an event last night, you know, and I, whilst was there, you know, ran into or saw from across the way a person who I was not particularly like excited
to see.
And in a way where, not that I feel I owe this person an apology, but possibly the other way around.
Yeah.
And so my question or curiosity is sort of like, is there anybody that, whether it's from your end or the other, where like you could see a world where you might reach out or would be happy if they reached out and they were like, I know this has been like 15 years, but I still think about it. Like when I wake up in the middle of the night and I have like always felt guilty that like in English class, I like called you a name or something. Like, you know, it's like, it has bothered me for so long. And I feel like it like we graduated after that and it left like a bad taste in your mouth about who I am. And you know, I was 17 and I'm sorry. And you know, like, is that an apology you would ever want to hear? Like, would that ever like be a gratifying experience, or do you feel like it would like rustle up old negativity that you're sort of like, I don't really want to go back. I don't want to open that door.
I have no idea. The thing I think, I thought about like Heavyweights, the podcast before, like, is there a moment in my life or a situation where I feel like that would be a thing worth trying to resolve or something. And I think I've talked about it on the pop. There was like this period of time in seventh grade where like in our writing class, every day the teacher would provide like a prompt and you'd have like 15 minutes to write like a page or something
about whatever
it was. And then people could read them out loud if they wanted. And there was like amongst my, what I would have considered at my time to be my friend group, there was like three or four people who stories every day would involve like my own death in their story, you know?
Weird.
And I remember just like, and I'll think back on that. And like in the moment, like, I remember being like, this is sort of why? Like, it just felt like you're like making fun of, like, you've picked me out for no reason in these things. And then like eventually I would just sort of like lean into it, and I would just sort of like whatever they were saying was happening to me, I would just sort of like act out in class. And I remember like when I would do that, it seemed like they did not like it. Like I was like in too much on the joke or something. Like, no, you're not supposed to get enjoyment out of it or something. And I just like, I think back on that and I'm like, what? Like, what the heck was going on? Like, was I not, like, was it just, like, I was just the person that was picked? Was there something, like, were they trying to, like, separate me from them or something? Or, like, I don't know at all what the situation was there.
Right, right. Like, is there a world where, they had decided for some reason or another that, like, they were... Like, you know, and this is, I mean, when you're talking about like seventh graders, you know, the possibility of like them being jealous about something about who you are and them retaliating in some capacity is not an uncommon thing to have happen.
Yeah.
However, it also doesn't necessarily not make it bullying in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's hard to hold anything against, you know, someone's seventh grade self or something like that.
Of course.
But
yeah.
Like, I do like amongst this group, like there was like some of like my childhood best friends who are like, you just know my whole life. And then there was like, you know, the new people you'd met in middle school. So it was sort of like, I always felt like my old best friends were like sort of like bridging the gap with these like new people. Like maybe these were becoming their new best friends, whereas like I might've been going down a path to some like other new best friends or something.
Sure, sure.
And but like in the meantime, we're all sort of like just still in the same circles, because we're the group of 10 guys in our grade who are all sort of into the same stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just sort of like I don't know if like you feel like continuing to be my friend in front of these other newer people is like dragging you down or something. I have no idea. Or whatever. And then I remember feeling like after we moved from that school, the next year we moved from seventh to eighth grade from our old school to our new school. And I always just felt like, it always felt to me that like those friends were sort of like angry at me for leaving or something. Like I had any control over it, like as if I wasn't super upset by it in the moment, which of course, like in retrospect, I'm not upset by it at all. And I think our parents made totally the right call in moving places, because like all of my current best friends in the world came from our new school, and so did my wife, so everything everything worked out tremendously well, even though in the moment I was really upset. And I'm always like, was it like, what would have caused the division in the first place? Like what was the initial like fork in the path or whatever? And like I could never figure out like what it was, or if there was something like at all. Like I remember at 4-H camp, like I remember like I danced with like the first girl I ever danced with. Like she I think one of my friends like did not like the girl, and I think they saw that as like a real like slight against them or something, which was like this like uncomfortable thing, which in the moment like I didn't even like consider. It's like, wait, this is like a big moment for me. It's like you're making, you know.
I know, yeah, and that's, you know, the thing
like, that's
too,
all
yeah.
I'm really thinking. It's like, there's a girl that likes me. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, this is my whole. This is the best thing that's ever happened.
Right. Yes.
And in the meantime, it's like causing this tremendous, like, or was that it? And then sometimes I also, man, this is gonna sound like such a tiny thing,
But I'll go back to this moment sometimes. It's the same friend all the way through on this. I remember, I think I was just spending the night at his house, and we were at the mall one day, and, you know, I don't even remember what grade we're in. It's like fifth or sixth. It must have been like fifth grade or something, because we went to like the GameStop or something, and his mom bought us each like a pack of Pokemon cards, which I remember thinking even at the moment, like, oh, your friend's mom is buying me something? Like, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah, right. You know? Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, and I think even he thought it was like, well, my mom bought you something? Like, hold on, not fair.
Right.
Or something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Like, this
but then,
is odd, yeah.
Yeah, like, this was odd. But then I remember what happened is, like, we were, like, she was, like, shopping in Belk or something. We were, like, playing in, like, the clothes racks, and that's when we opened the packs. And I remember, like, his pack was particularly disappointing, and mine was, like, I remember it was a holographic Mr. Mime.
Oh.
Which was, I know, right?
Pretty cool.
And that definitely was, it's like, if it was unfair before that I also got a pack, it was extremely unfair that I pulled this extremely cool card and his was so not cool,
like uninteresting.
Like, it
yeah.
was like, well, that it's like, I like the read in the situation was like, you basically owe me that card, like that should be mine, sort of thing.
Like, my mom bought it for you.
My mom bought that for you.
If so facto, it's mine. Yeah.
And I'm like, was that like it sounds so stupid to think, like, was that like the tiniest of cracks that like eventually rippled or something, like a sense of injustice or something? I have no idea. But like, I'll go back to that moment and like, I'm like, sometimes I've literally considered buying like a Mr. Mime card today in just the hopes that I'll run into this person and be like, here, you
right,
know?
Like,
here you go.
Have your card back.
Have your card back. Or like, I'm sorry I didn't just give it to you or something, but also I never owed it to you. But like, I also, like, it never came up like that. They never complained about it or anything. It was just sort of like the tension in the moment.
Yes.
You know, that was clear. And it's like, it sounds so stupid when I think about it. And it's like, maybe this is one of the, maybe me just talking about it will help relieve it, but I don't know.
Right. Right. I know. And and it's so strange too. And I think that this is so much part of like the emotional development of the time, is that like someone who, cause I felt like I had a good handful of friends, throughout like my high school years. But, like, you know, there was this like one guy in particular who I felt like, depending on the year, either like was my best friend and I would spend like every weekend night with him. And like, you know, we did stuff together always, or he like actively like hated me and,
right.
and was always just trying to like throw me under the bus on everything.
Right.
And it was always so, and like, I look back on these experiences and I'm just like, what was happening? Like, that like, you know, this person like was so hot, so cold, like depending on like what the current state of things was, because like, you know, it was one of those things where like, it's not like I ever felt like I knew there was an obvious reason why this person may or may not have been like jealous of something that was happening in my life, but maybe they were, or maybe I was going through like specific phases where I was like really heavily emphasizing something that he was just like, oh my gosh, you were driving me crazy with your interest in, you know,
right,
like aquariums all of a sudden or something. It's like,
right.
That's all you ever talk about, you know, it's just like,
yeah.
Cause that would have been happening at the time. So it's like, I don't know, you know, like what would have caused that. And similarly, like with your situation, especially at that age where it's just like, it's so odd. And then not to mention, because you then subsequently like left the situation, you sort of like, you know, don't.
Yeah.
Ever
there's
get
like,
the,
there's very little resolution at all.
Right.
You know?
Right. But so that these are the questions where like sometimes like sometimes I think that there's like a handful of people where like where I feel like I could reach out to them and I could be like, hey, you know, like I remember how like this thing went down and I feel like I was putting like unfair pressure on you and I just wanted to like, you know, apologize that, you know, like that this, that, or like whatever, you know, ended up happening. But like a lot of times I'm also like, you know, if that particular circumstance or that situation or that like whatever did like leave a rift or like left them like disliking me like this whole time or something, it's like I have no idea if it's just like worse to like reach out and be like, I just wanted to apologize, I'm sorry, you know, I was 16 and really like I didn't realize the that like it could have been bad, but
right,
like, you
know, I was just trying to be funny. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I was like, right. I was just trying to make a joke, you know, and you know, or whatever the case may be. But occasionally, yeah, like those little things crop up and I'm so torn because like, I think, you know, conflict resolution to me is like one of like the biggest things. Like, I feel like I'm always trying to like sort of make sure that like I'm in good standing with the people, you know, in my life. And if there is somebody who I actively know that I'm not in good standing with, and there's something like I could do about it, like sometimes like I want to do something about it, but I also don't want to, I don't want to disrupt, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
and not even that, you know, there's the expectation of necessarily, like, I don't know, like being forgiven. But like, sometimes when I think about it from the other, like, so the guy who was hot and cold with me, for example, like my sometimes friend throughout high school, like, you know, sometimes I think, like, you know, if he shot me a text and was just like, "Hey man, I'm sorry about sophomore year," you know, like, I'd be like, "Man, great to hear from you. Like,
right.
Thank you."
Yeah.
It's like, now I can just put that to rest forever.
Right. But you'd be on the receiving end of the forgiveness. So it would be like, you know, like, part of me would be like, it's not really worth hanging on to. But like, if I reached out to you to be like, could I get an apology or something, or an explanation, to be like, is that now planting in their mind? Like, oh my God, I like tortured this person. Like, I don't know. Like, would it be bad news? Like, would it be mean to like let them know that they've affected you negatively for a long time or something?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I suppose that is the like dichotomy, if you will, of the question, is like, it's like, all I can assume is that if you were the person who owes the apology, then the impetus lies with you.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so the question is sort of like,
but like, chances are, but like, do they know?
But do they know?
Do,
yeah,
they know?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So it's like, I would say that like, if there was somebody who I could reach out to, my suspicion, well, and of course, you know, like, I'm at the center of my universe or whatever. But my suspicion is that like, I think now I'm trapped inside of my own logic loop a little bit. So I'm not sure. I guess the question is it's like, I would like to receive, or I think it would make me, it would be like a positive beat in my day if one of these messages like ever came through, if one of these correspondences ever came through. And I guess that, like, with that in my mind, it makes me wonder whether or not somebody would receive it positively,
right,
as well. And so I guess it's hard to say with your situation in particular, whether or not, like, if you were to reach out to them and be like, "Hey, we sort of had a spat in seventh grade. What was that all about?"
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that one feels like it could be harder if that was the only means of communication, because then it's sort of like reaching out and asking for the apology.
Right.
Rather than having the unexpected reach out of the apology.
Right.
But that feels like, this is like one of those things where it's like, it almost feels like a campaign you could do, where it's sort of like, okay, guys, together, let's all do this. Let's all reach out to someone we owe an apology. You know, it's like,
right,
it's,
yeah,
like, that could be like a great thing. That's like a good, like, pay it forward type of situation.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, you can't be sitting there waiting and hoping that spontaneously this person's just going to figure it out and be the one who says it. But if, yeah, you're someone who can recognize an instance where you could provide this for somebody else, maybe that sends some good out into the world that will then like ripple out.
Hope. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe. Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so that would be the question. So do you think though, that like, if the friend who did not pull the Mr. Mime were to like message you tomorrow and was like, "Hey man, I'm really sorry about that. I was just, you know."
Oh, sorry about like being upset.
Being upset, or like something. Like, do you think it would make you feel better?
I don't know. That one was so like, it was such a subtle moment.
Sure.
You know, where it was like no one said anything. No one was ever like upset about it, but it was like in the moment, it was like very clear that the wrong thing happened or something.
Right.
Or like the interpretation, like even I felt like, like I was like so excited to have pulled such a fun card, but then also just like, oh, like what a complete bonus for me.
I know. Yeah. Like, cause this was not like on my expectation,
yeah,
you know, list at all. Yeah. So that's that honestly, it's like, and it's funny too with like the pulling of the cards. Cause I mean, I remember one night, and I'm sure we've told the story before, but like we were at a local restaurant called the Brambleton Deli. And I remember like we were meeting Dad for dinner. Cause he used to, on like Fridays, we would go, mm-hmm, because he did like the news at night. We typically didn't get to have dinner with him. So on Fridays we would go to Roanoke. We would, go somewhere out to eat and we would have dinner with Dad, the whole family. And I remember the kids in the booth behind us were opening Pokemon cards and they pulled like the infamous Charizard card.
Famous, yeah, Anthony's, by the way.
Was it Famous Anthony's?
Yeah. I don't think we ever went to Brambleton Deli with Dad.
I would have bet $10 million.
Really?
Brambleton Deli.
Man.
I would be willing to bet if we called that after this, it is Brambleton Deli.
Okay, I mean, go for it. But I'm pretty sure it was Famous Anthony's. I don't think we even discovered Brambleton Deli was a place until after we'd moved.
Okay.
So,
okay. Well, yeah. Maybe so. But either way, we were at dinner.
Okay.
The kids behind us.
They're extremely similar restaurants for what it's worth.
They are. But we the kids behind us pulled it. We asked, like, you know, oh my gosh, like, where did you buy your cards? Because I feel like just even having been near the opening of a Charizard meant, like, wherever you got them, probably, like, those are good packs.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes.
That, like, they must be. And so I remember we left dinner, mom and dad obliged, and they were like, okay, like, we'll go over to the Books A Million. And I remember, I feel like at the Books A Million, they had this, like, lit glass case with, like, a rotating conveyor belt that, like, the Pokemon packs were, like, sitting on or something. And it was just like, man, this is so cool. Like, even looking back on it now, I'm like, that doesn't even exist today. Like, what was that? But Tyler, our youngest brother, pulled the holographic Alakazam that night. And I think I pulled like a non-holo rare Dragonair or something like that, you know. So it was just sort of like well, that was my pack was essentially a bust, and Tyler pulled like a really cool Pokemon, and it's holographic, and
man,
you know, and so it's like it's one of those things where it's like as a parent who is then buying packs for kids, it's like you open yourself up to the like this disparity happening.
Yeah.
And if that disparity does happen, it's like, well, there's that.
Yeah. This is just sort of how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. So, because I've done the same thing. We had a bunch of extra packs here from doing our Pokemon show. I gave them to my, you know, nieces and nephew for Christmas one year, like two packs each or something.
Yeah.
And the girls both pulled like holos in both of theirs, and my nephew pulled nothing.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, he cares the most. He has like the binder. Right. Like, it's very important to him and everything. And so, you know, instead he just sort of like seemed like he was kind of like bummed the rest of the night. I was like maybe I should stop doing this. Like, in my mind as a kid, I would have loved if like any of my family members showed up with like packs of cards for me.
Yeah.
But it's like it sometimes causes a problem that may throw him off for like the rest of the night.
Yeah, I could totally see stuff like that. I mean, this is the nature of having trading cards as siblings and stuff. Like, I remember we all had our little binders and stuff, and it would be like, you know, the idea of trading cards was so fun, and it was always like, you know, inevitably your brother had cards you wanted and you had cards they wanted, but obviously you were unwilling to part with yours. You were hoping to, you know, hoping just their just opinion had changed, basically, because it's not like, oh, you want to trade cards? Like, yeah, we did this exact same thing for the past 5 nights. We know there's no new cards in circulation, you know?
Right. Nothing has changed.
It's like, you're not going to give up the Zapdos all of a sudden, you know? Right.
Is that what I had?
You had the Zapdos,
I do remember pulling the Zapdos the day we went to the NASCAR event, I think in Martinsville.
Oh, man.
Dad bought us a fossil pack.
Wow. Yeah there you go.
The Zapdos.
Look how Pokemon cards have just, like, made the... Even though there was a giant, like, 20-year gap, like, our experiences with them were still impactful.
Yes, like, locked in. Anyway, so as ever, we went way long because we're recording after the fact.
Yep.
But guys, as ever, thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon. For the question of the day that we'd be curious to get your response on is, how would you feel if you got that message from somebody who you felt like owed you an apology, especially if it was like long enough ago, you know, that like there's no real stakes on the table. It's not like still impacting. It's more like a wrong from a while ago that left a sour feeling about a person who has since grown.
Right.
You know, I feel like that's really like the big thing. This is not like that person who you got into an argument with like last week, where everything's still like, you know, fresh and actively impacting you know, every aspect of your life or something. So that would be the curiosity, the question. Let us know. But otherwise, until next time, bye. So there you go, guys. That was After the Final Pop. What did you think about our super hot takes on things like the letter K?
Yeah, the letter K. I think we just decimated that one.
Yeah. That one maybe just got, you know, just raked clean across the coals. Also, was it U or V? I feel like we also had like some strong opinions about.
Well, I think it was V, right? Was it V or was it? Yeah, because W's are fat, like, if you print them, they're double V's, and yet
Even W is like, no. I'm a W, not a double V.
I don't want to be associated with that.
Right. Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, so hopefully you guys had a lot of fun with that. We obviously have a lot of fun whenever we are recording those little tidbits for you guys. So, again, if you'd like to check it out, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. You may also know that Jay and I are both wearing our brand new super shirts, which are also available over at Carlin Brothers Mercantile. They feature our faces.
Yeah. If you're watching, you can see them. It features me and Ben both making really dumb faces at the camera and says the word super on them. It's a really funny picture from when we were on tour earlier this year. So if you want to, if you're watching, you can see it. If not, you can get over to carlinbrothersmercantile.com and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.